Then we'll begin. You know, in Galatians, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And how many of you know that it's easy to read these portions of Scripture, it's easy to, it's harder, should I say, to walk it. And some things, you know, when we look at that, when we look at them and we think about the big things, we think, well, they're difficult, but the easy things are easy. But I beg to differ, because we're going to be talking about kindness and goodness. And goodness me, have I had the opportunity to be kind and good. And it really emphasizes, whenever you speak about something, whenever you study something, whenever, can I have the privilege of having the time to be able to look around scriptures and to walk that walk and live out what we say, it's not as easy as we think. And we think, yes, yeah, I'm a kind person, I want to do good things, and then we meet somebody, don't we? We meet that person, we think, oh, yeah, okay, I need to express the fruit of the Spirit. I want that peace and that forbearance, as well as that kindness and goodness. And for us, as we look through Scripture, I want us to journey. I want us to look at what the Bible says about it. And so often there's words that are very similar. And yet there are different words that are used for different things. And when we look at kindness, we think, well, surely it's the same as favor or grace. No, that's undeserved merit. Kindness, there's an action that we have an opportunity to be kind to somebody else, to be that person that shows goodness. And in this portion of scripture here in Genesis, it says, your servant has found favor in your eyes. You have shown great kindness to me, sparing my life. And then it talks about fleeing to the mountains. And when you look at this understanding here about what's happening, you need to read the full account of God's grace and God's mercy. You can start right at the beginning. You can go right up to where it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah, where it talks about the angels. And it tells us that angels of the Lord came and appeared in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a circumstance and a situation, read around it. And yet these angels were merciful. Yes, but they were kind. They were kind because not only did they forewarn Lot to escape with his family, they grabbed hold of him and led him. And sometimes when we think about doing kind things, being good things, it's going to take effort. Sometimes we have to really push in, and sometimes we will have to take people by the hand and show them that we want to lead them in goodness. We want to be kind to them. We want to show that act of kindness. And when we, I've heard a radio program where it says random acts of kindness. And you know, a random act of kindness is amazing what that will achieve. You know, you walk into any place of where you're going to be served, and you just smile. You just make that effort to. I struggle with reading people's name tags because of my eyesight. Can you imagine? I'm sort of, what's your name again? So I try not to look at the name tags. But if you can read somebody's name and say, hello, Fred. How are you today? Jean, it's good to see you. Thank you for looking after me. That act of kindness, it means you are a kind person, but they don't know that, do they? So when we start to look into ordinary life and what God says to us about being kind in Genesis, staying with that, saying, praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on a journey to the house of my master's relatives. There again, you need to read the story. And if you read the story, you'll see that there was a task at hand. You will see that there was to be a bride for Isaac. Yes, we know now because we read the scripture, it's Rebecca. But there's a, I want you to go to my own clan. And the servant says to his master, but what about if I find a woman and she says no, or her family says no? He says, the kindness of God says to him, well, then you're relinquished from the oath that I've made you take today. And we look at this act of kindness. We think it's random. We look at what Rebecca did as she served her future husband. She showed an act of kindness. The master received an act of kindness from God himself. And when we look at life, when we look at the things we do, just the Bible says if we give a cup of cold water to one of these little ones. And so often we think a cup of cold water is not much. But just imagine that you are on a day like today and you're going for a walk and there's a couple with their dog along the side panting and you just give a cup of cold water to this four-legged furry friend. It's an act of kindness, let alone sharing a fresh bottle of water and giving it to somebody else. That's an act of kindness. Now, so often in life, I find that I miss those opportunities. I walk past a circumstance, a situation, and think, I could have done something about that. I could have been kind there. I go into a circumstance where somebody doesn't give me the answer that I think I should have, and I immediately go into overdrive. And suddenly I have to step back and go, no, I need to be kind to this person because I don't know the day they've had. Can you imagine being in a call centre and you get an irate person on the phone? They don't know your story. Yes, you're doing a job. Yes, you're being paid for it, but you don't deserve that hassle, do you? So sometimes as Christians, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, it is a fruit. It's 30, 60, 100 times. It means we can start with the small and expect God to bring the multiplication. But we want to look at kindness and goodness, and we want to see what God can do in our lives. Now, Mike was kind to me last week. He said, are we on half term, Andrew? He said, you seem to go, I need a double sermon. It was too quick. So for him today, stay behind. Everyone else is going home early. Joshua 2:12. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. There again, look at the story. And the spies went in to spy out the land. And we're talking about mutual kindness. Now, we don't give to receive, but it is good to receive when we give. Yes? You know, we don't look to sow into someone else's life and expect them to sow into our life. But it's good when it happens, isn't it? The Bible says, do good because it's good to do. And sometimes we can ask ourselves, why should I? Well, because God has been good to me. God has been kind to me. God has been faithful to me. So when we listen to a message like this, it's simply to stir us up and provoke us to think about what we say when we say it, what we do, how we do it, when we do it. But there is a story here. There is a portion of scripture here that's talking about an individual that showed particular kindness. And she was asking for kindness in return. And even though we don't look for it, Lord, your God is God in heaven, above and on the earth below. When we show kindness, we're showing a bit of who we are. And when we show a bit of who we are, we show a bit of who God is. When we go into a foreign land, when we go into an unfamiliar territory, when we go into the enemy's camp. Many years ago when I was in America, there was a song that this powerful woman sung. She said, I'm going to the enemy's camp and I'm taking back what he stole from me. He, meaning God, he's healed my body. He's healed my mind. He saved me just in time. We can go into the enemy's camp and we can take back what's been stolen from us. We can go into the enemy's camp and we can show kindness and we can show goodness. Why? Because God is good to us. And if we get nothing else today, we know and we're encouraged that God is good to us. God wants to encourage us. He wants to bless us. So when we look at this portion of scripture, here in Ruth 1:8, it says this. Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husband and to me. Read the story. There again, it's not just enough to pluck a scripture out that has the word kindness in it without bringing any context to it. Here you have Naomi, whichever one it is, in a foreign land, in a barren land. It's supposed to be the house of bread, but there is no bread. And they had to leave that place because her husband had died. And her two daughter-in-laws, their husband had also died. And she said, go back to where you belong. Go back and let people serve you. Using my words, let your family love on you. And they both started to journey and said, no, where you go, I will go. And then one returned. And Ruth, read the story. She said, no, where you go, I go. Your God, my God. When you eat, I will eat. Doesn't say that, but that's what it means. There was an act of kindness. It was something that she did. She didn't have to. And for you and I, we can look at the word grace. We can look at many words in the Bible, and they can overlap. But to be kind and to be good takes effort. It takes an opportunity of choice. We choose to. She chose to serve. She chose to serve. She went into the unknown. And sometimes when we're kind to somebody else, we may not receive that kindness back. But as we sow, because it's a fruit of the Spirit, we will grow. And I want to encourage us as we journey through the fruits of the Spirit and maybe go on to the gifts of the Spirit. If we can't operate in the fruits of the Spirit, then why would God give us and endow us with the gifts of the Spirit? You know, so often in church life, you can have a man or a woman that appears to be anointed to do something, and yet their character is flawed. And I don't understand that, do you? How much more if their character was in step with the Spirit? And the gift that God had endowed them, I believe, would magnify. So I don't want to be somebody that's just gifted. I want to be someone that has fruit of the Spirit. And it's a challenge in my life, and I'm sure it's a challenge in your life. But here we have an opportunity to serve. And we look at this story. Read the story of Boaz the Redeemer. Look what happened. It's not by happenstance, is it? She just happened to be in the right place at the right time. God knows. He has a picture of the life that he has for you. We are a jigsaw puzzle, and there may be a piece missing, but God knows where that piece is. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. And I suggest as we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we will experience the life of the Spirit. We'll keep in step with the Spirit. We will be endowed with the power of the Spirit. Like I said today, many people are celebrating the day of Pentecost. And we can all say, Lord, send your fire. But when we think about that fire on Pentecost, it came to endow them with power to preach the gospel. Empower to withstand the insults, the power to be martyred. So when we pray, Lord, send your fire, make sure it's a refining fire, not a consuming fire. Lord, consume the dross, but leave the goodness. And when we think about the kindness of God, the goodness of God, we can be kind and good to others. And then you read this story, and instead of just plucking out this word kindness, you'll read that story and you'll, my goodness. Here was a young woman who served her family. And as she served, she was shown favor. That favor turned into kindness. That kindness turned into marriage. That marriage turned into fruitfulness. And when you look at the line of Jesus, you'll see Ruth is there. God is a good God. He wants us to be good too. So we continue to look through scripture in 2 Timothy 1:16. It says this, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, or whatever the name is, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when I was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. An act of kindness. This Onesiphorus, whatever his name is, he searched out Paul so that he could show him kindness. A lot of people had deserted Paul when he was in prison, yet this individual searched him out so that he could simply show him kindness. And sometimes God will prompt us to search somebody out. At times we will think it's random. And we'll think it's just a small act. But if it's a small act of kindness, there can be a big reward, not just for you, but for them also. So I want to encourage us as we look through the fruits of the Spirit to put on kindness and goodness. Let them be like a a garment that we put on. Let them be a challenge, because it is a challenge. Because ever since I opened my mouth and said, right, today, Lord, we're going to be looking at kindness, I had opportunity after opportunity to be kind. And I failed miserably at times. So I know it's a challenge. That's why it's called a fruit of the Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit in us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, yes? And there's times where we will say, I can't do this. No, it's a fruit. Lord, help me. That's why we walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. Ask God to fill us with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is, that we may be all that He's called us to be. Staying with Ruth 2:20, it says this, the Lord bless him. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead, she added. The man is a close relative. This is the guardian redeemer. This is the one that had an opportunity to redeem what was in the family line. And he showed kindness to the living and the dead. How did he show kindness to the living and the dead? Because it wasn't just about those that were alive. It was about the memory of those that had been deceased. So when in life we have an opportunity, even at a funeral, we have an opportunity to speak goodness into someone's life. We have an opportunity to be kind and compassionate, full of grace, full of mercy. And it may not seem much, but I know from experience, one of the sides of being a minister is that you don't just take weddings, you take funerals. And I can tell you now that just holding somebody's hand and looking at them and saying, I am sorry for your loss, and seeing that mutual understanding goes a long way. Just being somebody that will say a kind word at the right time. Being good when it's good to be good. Just a word. I will get that coffee for you. These are small things, aren't they? You sit there and let me serve you. It's a small thing. It's an act of kindness. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of grace, yes. But so often we think it's the big things. We can look at a platform minister. We can look at something that's happening. And there's a dunamis of the Holy Spirit. There's a dynamite of power. Yet there's just as much power, I suggest, in that word of kindness. In that person's life. Because we don't know their story, do we? We don't know their background. We don't know that when we smile, when we say, is it okay if I give you a hug at this time? And that hug says so much, doesn't it? I'm being soppy, but you get what I'm saying. It's being kind and it's being good in the right circumstance at the right time. There was a... when we had our 20-year celebration, there was a... There were some letters that was written to me and Susan from some lovely people that have gone on to serve the Lord in other parts of the world. And I won't say who, but there was one lady, she went through a particular tough time. She'd been bereft by suicide in her family. And I would say to her, how are you? And she'd say, I'm fine. And then I'd pull her to one side and I'd just look at her and say, how are you really? And then she would fold into my arms. Now, that's just a simple act of kindness. Why? Because I care. Because I care. And she made a point of saying it in this letter. And Andrew would say, how are you really? Because I care. And if you meet somebody and you're really interested, take the opportunity to be interested. Because that act of kindness, that act of goodness will make a difference. I know it in my life and I know it's true and it will be true in your life. In 2 Samuel 9, 1, it says this. David asked, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul who I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Sometimes there's a family member that's been good to you. Sometimes there's a relationship and that person has been good to you, but their relatives haven't been good to you. But because you want to show kindness, because you were shown kindness, you seek them out. Just imagine the picture. And I know it sounds whimsical, if that's the right word. It just seems that it's not relevant. But when you show kindness and you show goodness to somebody that you don't know, because you had a relationship with their father or their mother or a member of their family, that will speak of God's goodness and God's kindness. Because you don't have to say, I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-bashing Christian to show the love of God, do you? You just show the love of God. You just show the love of God. Who am I? I am who God says I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm going to make an effort to be kind and to be good. And it's a hard road at times to be kind and to be good. But there are times, there are opportunities we will have to seek out somebody and be kind because of the relationship we've had with their loved one. Portion of scripture here in Exodus 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Now that's good in itself, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. So put this together. Be kind and compassionate. Forgiving one another. So as we forgive one another, it's an act of kindness and an act of compassion. When you look at that word compassion, some translations, they put the word pity in there. And the word pity, in an English sense, it kind of can be patronizing at times. Someone can go through a hard time and you just go, there, never mind. It'll all be okay. Just keep praying. Now that's pity. But compassion is when we have this act of kindness, this act of goodness, when something rises up in us and we really draw alongside someone. Body and we say, I can feel what you feel. I see what you see. I've experienced what you are going through. Let me help. It's an act of kindness. It's an act of generosity. It's an act of compassion. So many of the words that are used through scripture just can be intertwined one with another. I was visiting Nigel for a few moments to borrow something from him, and he was explaining a machine that he helped to set up and program, and it's where it takes different strands of wire and it weaves them all together to put this reinforcement around the thing that's precious inside. And that's a bit like these words. You know, they're different strands, but they weave together to protect what's inside, to protect the heart that God has given us. He wants us to be kind and compassionate. And as we're kind and compassionate, we can be forgiving. And it talks about here, forgive one another. And we may say to ourselves, why should I be kind? Why should I be generous? Why should I forgive? Well, the answer's here. As Christ forgave you. You know, God didn't give us what we deserved, did he? I listened to an apologist on a debate, and one young man or one woman, I can't remember which it was, said, well, if God is all powerful, why don't he just get rid of sin? Why don't he just deal with the sinner and deal with sin if God is so powerful? And this apologist stood up and he said, yeah, God could do that, but if he did, he'd start with you. And that's the truth of it, isn't it? God didn't give us what we deserve because he was kind and compassionate to us. In Titus 3:5, it says this, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out generously. When we look at verse 4, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done. See, God's been kind to us. So whenever we get in a situation where we're challenged by people, we're challenged by strangers, we're challenged by friends, we're challenged by neighbours, we're challenged by our enemies, when we're challenged and we may think, why should I? Well, because God did for us. So when we come to church, when we meet together and we start looking at something as simple as the fruit of the Spirit, it's cultivated. It has a root. It has a stem. It has leaves. And it has ultimately has fruit. And I want to say to us, as we are rooted in the Word, in this God's Word, as we're rooted in God's Word, we will grow and we will flourish and we will bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. Some of us will bear more fruit than others, but God wants us to be fruitful Christians. And to be fruitful Christians means that when you produce something, inside that fruit is a seed, and that seed will produce a tree that will produce fruit. So when we have these random acts of kindness, as we sow into someone else's life, it gives an opportunity for that seed to be cultivated in their lives so that they can show goodness and kindness, because it has a chain reaction. Because what will happen is this: you can have somebody that that has a bad day and a random stranger comes up and shows them kindness. And then they show someone else kindness. And they show someone else kindness. So the fruit of the Spirit is contagious, but we need to let it be cultivated. We need to let it be fertilized. We need to let it be pruned. And we need to let it grow. So I want to encourage us, as I make a fist of my Bible, I want to encourage us as I look through Scripture, as we look through what the Bible says to us and through us. In Titus 2:1, it says this: "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine." So we can take random portions of Scripture and we can sew it into a nice little thing and just say, we are lovely, we belong to the Lord, we've been forgiven, we've been made righteous, everything is good. And that is true. But we also need to be challenged, because when we look at sound doctrine, it's not just enough to say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We also have to say we need to be those that are fruit inspectors, fruit pickers, and fruit sharers. We need to share the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, we want to see the gift of the Spirit. Yes, we want to keep in step with the Spirit. Yes, we know we've been born again through the Spirit, but we want to be fruitful because of the Spirit. So just imagine next time you have a problem and you ring up a call centre and you get somebody that you can hardly understand on the other end of the phone. Be kind. It's frustrating, isn't it? Be kind. Be kind and show goodness. It's a challenge, but the Bible should challenge us. In Psalm 145:1, it says this: "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever." And that's just to encourage us that everything we have comes from the Lord. Everything we have comes from the Lord. And as we exalt him, as we exalt him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we start to praise his name forever, as we start to show our goodness to God because he's shown his goodness to us, as we are kind and compassionate to one another, I suggest that he endows us with much fruit. So that was my introduction. Now for my portion of Scripture that I want to minister on today. It's in Luke 10:25. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Now, an expert of the law, you may know this, you may not know this. He's not an expert in law. He's an expert in Old Testament Scripture. The law, God's law, the Torah. He's an expert in the first part of what the Bible is, the Old Testament. So you've got this individual that is an expert in the law. He stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This isn't the only time Jesus has asked this question. He's asked it by a rich young man who says, "What do I need to do to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus says, "To love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself." And he brings all the law down to these two things, but the rest of them, the young man says, "I've kept all those things. I've been good to my parents. I've paid my tithe. I've honoured God. What must I do?" "Go sell everything. Come follow me." He went away sad. Here's another instance where it says, "What is written in the law?" So he's asking them a question. You've studied the law. What's written? When you meet somebody or somebody meets you as a Christian and they ask you a question, they could say, "Well, what does the Bible say about this?" Now, Jesus said to this expert, "What does the law say about this?" And then this bit I find really interesting. How do you read it? You know, when you're looking through Scripture, how do you read it? Do you read it with bias? So it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, ish, kindness, kind of, when these people deserve it. Doesn't say that, does it? But so often we can read it in a way that's biased to us. We can excuse ourselves, and I know that because I am that man at times, where I go, "Yeah, but they deserved it. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yes, but." But how do you read it? And if we're going to study Scripture, we need to know what God says before we say what God says. How do you read it? He says, he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Good answer. "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." There again, just the same as the rich young ruler, he wasn't satisfied with what the Bible said, or what God said, should I say, what we now know to be the second half of Scripture. He wasn't happy with that. There was something missing. So he said, yes, and what else do I do? So Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, go sell everything. Same thing here. You've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Yet he knew there was something missing. And he said this, but he wanted to justify himself. And he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And there's a whole story here about a neighbor. There's a whole story here about a man that fell into the hand of robbers. And I'm going to paraphrase this for time. And you look at what's happening here. There was a man, he was on a journey, and he got pounced upon. He got beaten to an inch of his life, Scripture instructs us. He was bleeding, he was bruised. And along came a priest, and he passed on the other side. And I was looking at that portion of Scripture, and as I was reading around it, there's some thoughts that other people had, which made me think about what they had said, and maybe, just maybe, as the priest is walking by, we don't know what kind of day the priest had had. We don't know where he was particularly going to end up, but he was going to a place of worship. And maybe when he saw this man on the ground, he was bleeding and bloody. He didn't want to get his hands dirty, so he'd be unclean, so he wouldn't be able to serve. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But this whole parable is talking about a neighbor. It's talking about an individual that showed kindness, which was an act of goodness, which took effort. So he passed by. Then a Levite. He also passed on the other side. We don't know. It doesn't tell us what kind of day he had. It just says he passed by. Then it says a Samaritan, as he was passing by, stopped. And this is significant because Jews and Samaritans were arch enemies. Not only were they seen as substandard human beings, they were seen as unclean. So just imagine if we replace that kind of word salad with your enemy. Simply your enemy. Simply somebody that rubs you up the wrong way. Somebody that has erred against you. Someone that has done something, said something that really is unhelpful. Someone that you would class as an enemy of yours. Just imagine that. So this Samaritan passes by and he sees his enemy bloody and bludgeoned. And it says he went down and he did something practical. He bandaged his wounds. He took from his own provision and he gave. That's an act of kindness. That's not just an act of grace, undeserved favor. He didn't deserve it, but he did it. But we don't deserve it. So in the life of this Samaritan, that wasn't even a concept. It was simply an act of goodness, an act of kindness. And he bandaged up and he put on wine vinegar and he soothed this man. And he put him on his own donkey. So he was prepared to walk while someone else, his enemy, could have a ride. And not only that, he took this man to an inn and he said to the innkeeper, look after this man. Not only take care of his needs now, but take care of the needs in the future so this man will be strong enough to go on his way. And when I come back, I'll pay you whatever. That's an act of generosity, isn't it? That's an act of goodness. It's an act of kindness. So there's times in our lives that we will have an opportunity as Christians to go the extra mile. We'll have an opportunity as Christians to get down off of our high horse and get down into the dirt and the dust and serve someone else. And this is a message of encouragement, a message of dunamis and power if we choose to allow it to come into our lives, to saturate, to permeate what God is doing in us and through us. If we allow the Spirit of God to help us to keep in step with the Spirit, with our spirit, so our spirit is in step with His Spirit, then I suggest that we will be provoked, we will be encouraged to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Because it takes effort to be kind and considerate. It takes effort to love. It takes effort to show people mercy. It takes effort to be good to those that don't deserve our goodness. And that's why the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. He's our partner. He's our advocate. He's our comforter. You know, the reason that he's called a comforter is because there's times we need comfort. And I suggest that when all is well with us, it's easy to be good, isn't it? It's easy to be kind. You've just received something yourself. Someone has done something for you. And you just feel that you ought to help someone else because you've been helped. They're the times it's easy. The times where it's not easy is when you pass your enemy. When you're in the heat of the sun. The dust of the desert. When you have an opportunity to legitimately walk by. And yet you stop, you turn around. Some years ago, I'll say this guardedly because our messages are recorded, but I was in a church where, let's say that you didn't want to be late for a service. Julian, when you walk in, I wave kindly because I love you, but my pastor wouldn't have waved kindly. And I was on the way to a midweek meeting. And I hate being late. I don't like being late for anything. I'm going through my village and I see a car broken down. I've told this story before. I saw a car broken down and I drove past him and my thought was, oh, someone ought to help him. And I got to the end of the road. I'm going to be late. So I turned around and come back. And there was something in me that just wanted to show this man kindness. And I got there and it works out that he's our local taxi driver. But I got there and he said, I'm really pleased you. I said, my phone's died. I've run out of petrol. Can you help? So I helped. Got to church, got the look, carried on, went home. The next week, the guy's broken down again. So I'm driving past thinking, well, he should learn by his mistakes. Got to the end of the road and there was something in me. And I turned around and he said, my battery's died. Have you got any jump leads? So I went back home, got the jump leads, jumped him, went back. Got the look, went back. The next time I went, this guy is broken down again. And you think, how kind can you be? How kind, how good can you be? But then the third time. And you know what? What about if that was me? Wouldn't I want someone to turn around? How important was that meeting? Just imagine, it's a church meeting. Imagine you're on your way to church next Sunday and somebody needs a hand. And you have an opportunity to go, do I A, stop and help, show kindness and goodness, or do I go B, go to church and hear a sermon about kindness and goodness, so that next time I see someone broken down, I can be kind and good. It's about stopping, isn't it? When it's appropriate, if you're on your own, don't stop, ladies. Phone somebody else to help. Be appropriate. But if it's within your power to do good, do good. Even if you just phone up somebody else. It's not enough, I dare say, it's not enough just knowing the word. We need to be doers of the word. So I'll leave you with that thought. Not just to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. To be encouraged, to be provoked, to be stirred, to be kind, to be compassionate. It doesn't mean you can't be firm and you can't be fair, but to be kind and to be compassionate. To show the goodness of God because God has shown the goodness to us, yes? Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace as we worship you this day, Lord. We are grateful, we are thankful for who you are and who we are because of you. We thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you give us the desires of our hearts. So this day, may we cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, the goodness. Lord, would you come and manifest in us afresh? Lord, as we look onto Pentecost and we want to see the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, we pray you would trust us, Lord, with your healing touch. You would trust us, Father God. You would manifest that dunamis in each and every one of us. But also, Lord, you'd give us that grace, that compassion, that goodness, that kindness, that gentleness, that love for one another and that love for a dying world. Lord, fall afresh on us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.